All right, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so go ahead and turn there with me. And while you do, I want to start by asking a quick question. What's your goal for today? What's your goal for today? What do you want to do? Take just a few seconds to leave that in the chat. And as you read other responses as well, I encourage each other. We can accomplish whatever we set out to do today. I'll give you just a minute to do that. What's your goal for today? So my goal for today is just to get a little rest, to enjoy spending time with my family. Maybe that doesn't sound like a huge goal, but it is important that we are intentional about resting. And it can actually be a great use of our time. So no matter what your goal was that you mentioned in the comments, I want you to get some rest today too. Make sure that you're resting on the Lord today. That's what the Lord's Day is all about, resting from our works and enjoying what God has done for us. Well, today we're going to be talking not just about our goals, but about God's goal. And not just for today, but for everything. What's God's goal for everything? And we actually started talking about this last week also. Last week, we focused on John chapter 17, verse 21, in which Jesus prayed for us, saying, "That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but the title of my sermon last week was actually, "That the World May Believe." That the world may believe. And we talked about how being truly united in our faith, like Jesus prayed, would lead to a greater evangelistic effectiveness, because the world would see Christ's love through us. We did that by asking some hard questions last week. They weren't necessarily hard questions to answer, but they were sometimes hard to put into practice. Like, it's hard to hold your tongue. It's hard to swallow your pride. And yet, these kinds of things are often some of the most crucial ways to practice unity and love within the church and also toward the outside world. And if we're really, truly committed to seeking and saving the lost as Jesus was and is, then we need to be willing to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. I want to continue building on that idea this morning, except this morning we're going to shift slightly to focus more on the goal itself, that the world may believe. To do that, we're going to be reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. It says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." All right, let's pray together. Father, help us to join you in your mission of reconciling the world to yourself through Jesus Christ. And help us to engage in this ministry wholeheartedly as new creations, resting in how you've forgiven us all of our trespasses through Christ's death on the cross. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Last week, I asked you some questions that you could discuss together, but I realized last week that 90 seconds was very little time to discuss some of those questions, and I probably should have given you a little bit more time for each question. So this week, I'll give you a whole extra minute for each question. Look how generous I am, a whole extra minute. So after you share your answer, take just a minute more to engage in some of the other answers, okay? Okay, so here's your first question. Paul wrote in our text this morning that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So my question is this. If you've received Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, what does it mean for you to be a new creation? Go ahead and talk about that. We focused on this one verse a few years back at VBS. It says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I wonder if any of you remember the song that we sang that year at VBS. Here's a taste of it. Remember that? How could any of us forget it, right? But this is the awesome thing. Because being a new creation means that the past doesn't define you. You're not defined by your limitations or your failures or even your accomplishments. Your relationship with Jesus is what defines you. And Jesus says that you are loved and completely forgiven. The old has passed away and the new you is here. But then the Bible goes on to talk about what that should look like. We could have talked about that in several different ways. We could have talked about theological realities such as being a child of God and how we have a new hope and a new joy in him. Or we could talk about giving up some of the old sins that we've clung to in the past, and that's good to do. And the Bible focuses on those things in other places. But that's not what the Bible goes on to say in this passage. The first thing the Bible talks about in this passage about being a new creation isn't about having a quiet time or making sure that you give enough money to the church or even stopping drinking and cursing. The first thing the Bible tells us after it says that we've been made new creations in Christ is to go and share the gospel with the world so that they would come to believe as well. I've learned these last few years that not many Christians seem to even really want the world to believe. Because if they did, if we did, we'd send more missionaries. We'd give more sacrificially to missions. More of us would become missionaries. More of us would become pastors and evangelists. And at the very least, we'd see more guests at our church because we'd be constantly inviting our lost friends and family and coworkers, and they'd come just because they got tired of us asking them over and over and over again. So here's another hard question. Do you want the world to believe? And does that actually show itself in the way that you live? Take a couple minutes to answer that question right now. I had a friend in college named Jennifer who signed up to be a counselor for the Billy Graham Crusade when it came to St. Louis about 20 years ago. As a counselor for the Crusade, you would simply stand near the stage as Billy Graham finished his sermon, and the people who wanted to receive Christ as Savior right then would literally come to you at that moment so that you could lead them in a prayer so that they would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. So I told Jennifer, hey, that's really cool that you volunteered to be a counselor for the Billy Graham Crusade, but aren't you scared about doing that? And her response stuck with me. She said she had always wanted to share the gospel more with people, but she often didn't know how. But if she didn't take this opportunity to share Jesus with people when it was easy, when they were literally coming to you asking to know Jesus, then when would she? Maybe you desperately want to start sharing your faith with people, just people all around you, but you're scared or you just don't know how. That's okay. Sometimes we imagine that evangelism has to look like a Billy Graham crusade, preaching the whole gospel, but that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes we just need to be open to doing small things, the easy things, so that we're prepared to share more when the time is right. I think sometimes we dismiss small things that we can do every day because we wonder, what difference does it make? What difference can it possibly make for me to do something small? So here's a question for you. Just like Jennifer decided to share the gospel when it was easy, what are some easy things that you can do this week even to share the gospel? Go ahead and discuss that in the chat. I did a search online for easy ways to share the gospel, and the first search result was 25 easy ways to share the gospel. Here are some of my favorite ones. When someone is sick, bring them a hot meal and a card with a nice note and an encouraging scripture verse within it. I think that's a cool idea, but here's another one. Do a random act of kindness and leave a note simply saying, "Because Jesus loves you." Once again, I think that's a great idea. You don't even have to put your name on it. Just let them know that you serve them because God loves them. That's cool. I like it. I like this one too. I think this is my favorite one. Play Christian radio in your car when you carpool. It's okay to have it on quietly. You don't have to blast it and sing it at the top of your lungs unless you want to. I think that's great. Maybe you can let your coworker know that you're praying for them. Maybe you can call someone this week and that you haven't seen at church in a while and invite them back. These kinds of things can often take just a few minutes, and they're usually pretty easy, but they can remind people or even let them know for the very first time that God loves them. But maybe you feel weird or inadequate even doing some of these small things. I think we've all felt that way. And I think we've all wondered, why would God choose to do it this way? Why would he rely on us in our weakness to share the gospel? Why doesn't he just go ahead and save everybody himself without having to use us at all? But here's the thing. God doesn't just want to save us. He wants to transform us. He wants us to be new creations. He wants us to make it our goal to join him in his goal of reconciling the whole world. So here's our last question. It's a simple yes or no. So I'm not going to give you any extra time to answer or discuss it. It's really simple. Have you made it your goal to share the good news? Have you made it your goal to share the good news? When Jesus was born, the angels told the shepherds that this was good news of great joy that shall be for all the world. Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost. And we read in 2 Corinthians that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, the message of reconciliation. So our goal ought to be to join God's goal in seeking and saving the lost. But maybe you're still trying to figure all this out for yourself. Maybe you're wondering how God could possibly love you because of your sins and failures. You wonder what you have to do in order for God to love you. But that's the beauty of the gospel. You don't have to do anything. Jesus is the one who did everything. See, God is the one reconciling the world to himself, forgiving our sins. God has already done everything. Jesus died on the cross so that we simply have to rest in what he's done. If you've never trusted in Jesus to forgive you of your sins, I invite you right now to pray this prayer with me. Let's pray. God, I know that I've sinned, but I also know that you love me. And I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. So I simply trust in you now as best as I know how. Forgive me of my sins and help me to live a life that glorifies you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.